by the answer of his tongue. When a man gets an answer to a question, it gives him joy. And that's what our theme is this year, is joy. And so sometimes finding the answers to hard questions will give you joy. And I believe God has all the answers. And so we're looking to him for them. So let's get started. And this is the question that I have that has been submitted, and we'll try to answer this today. It says this: why did Mary refer to Joseph as, quote, thy father, end quote, when she addressed the 12-year-old Jesus in Luke 2 and verse 48? Again, let me read it again. Why did Mary refer to Joseph as, quote, thy father, end quote, when she addressed the 12-year-old Jesus in Luke 2 and verse 48. Let's read the story. Turn to Luke 2. We'll read the whole story. This is Jesus. It's the only story we really have from his childhood. He's 12 years of age. And every single year at the Passover, as good Jews, they went up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Let's read the story, and then we'll get to the question. Luke 2, verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. So if you're a parent that's ever lost track of your children, don't feel bad. You're not the first one that ever done that. Sometimes that happens. But they, supposing him to have been in the journey, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, and here's the statement, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Here in verse number 48, we have a statement recorded in the Bible from the lips of his mother, and we know her name was Mary. And his mother said unto him, Son, Jesus, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. This is a verse that many Christ deniers have lifted out of context and used over the years with glee to question the deity and the divinity of Jesus Christ. This to them is a proof text in their doctrine that Jesus was not divine, that he was just human, that Joseph was his father, that really he was an illegitimate son, an imposter, or an extreme Jew claiming to be the Messiah. Because we have recorded here the words of Mary when she addressed Joseph to Jesus as thy father. So the question today is, why didn't Mary refer to Joseph as thy father when she addressed the 12-year-old Jesus in Luke 2 and verse number 48? We have to understand there are many people that deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny his divinity. They just say that he was a human being, an extreme Jew. When we were in Israel in February, we asked our guide what he thought about Jesus Christ. He was a secular Jewish guide, very nice man, but he just felt that he was just another extreme Jew, had come down the line with as so many hundreds of other Jews have, claiming to be the Messiah. And there's many deny. In fact, there's probably more in the world that deny the deity of Christ and his divinity than believe it, like we do, accept it and preach it. And they like to use verses like this. I want to encourage you to remember that one of the golden rules of hermeneutics, the interpretation of Scripture, is to never, ever lift one verse out of context and build a doctrine out of it. It's a very, very dangerous thing to do. Cults do that all the time. Now, just to give you the answer before we get in, I got about 7 points here, but just to give the answer, I believe Jesus answered the question for us in the next verse. He says in verse 49, "How is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about," or the next two words, "my Father's business." I believe Jesus, even at 12 years old, corrected that error with the very first statement out of his mouth in answering his mother Mary. But I want to give you an answer to this question. I got about 7 points here. If you want to write them down, if you're apt to take notes, there's booklets on the pillars over there for you to grab if you want to take notes. But I want to say this. Number one, the Bible simply records in honesty the words of men and women, even if inaccurate. Number one, the Bible simply records in honesty the words of men and women, even if inaccurate. See, the Bible is a book of history, and oftentimes in that history it just records what people said. God honestly just recorded what people said, even though what they said might not have been accurate. Now, do you understand what I mean? For instance, I'll give you an example. In Mark 13 and verse 55, the residents of Nazareth said something, and it's recorded, and this is how it's recorded. "Is not this the carpenter's son?" Okay, now that's not a doctrinal statement. That's just God honestly recording what they said. We have that throughout the Scriptures. "Is not his mother called Mary, and his brother James, and Joses, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not with us? Not all with us, whence then hath this man these sayings?" So the Bible is a history book. It records what people said, even if what they said was inaccurate. Does that make sense? Even if what they said was inaccurate, God just put it down. There are even lies recorded in the Bible. That's point number two. The Bible even records some lies that have been told. In Genesis chapter number 3, we have the first lie, and God is just simply recording it. Just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean it's true. It's just God recording the words of Satan. We have in Genesis 3 and verse 4 and 5 these words, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Now, is that true or false? It's false. They would die. He was lying to them. God is just simply recording the lie for us to understand. Verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." There's half-truths in there. You shall be as gods. Satan is basically saying to Eve here in the Garden of Eden temptation, look, God is holding out on you. You're not getting the whole picture here. You're missing out on a lot by obeying God. You can be your own God. You can choose for yourself what good is and evil is. You're not going to die. Don't be afraid of that. Okay, these are lies, half-truths, inaccuracies, and yet they're in the Bible. Yet they're in the Bible. And so the Bible records for us lies that have been told. In Isaiah 14, we have the words of Satan again recorded. It says in verse 13, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, is that true or false? It's false, and yet it's recorded in the Bible. It's just God simply recording what Satan said in his heart that caused him to sin. He became a self-created sinner. Nobody made Satan sin. God made Lucifer perfect. God gave him a free will. He decided to activate his own free will in choosing evil and rebellion against the Lord, and Satan became a self-created sinner because of the pride of his heart. And so that's recorded for us. In Genesis 27, verses 18 through 23, we read this. And he, Jacob, came unto his father Isaac and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it unto me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. What is this? It's a lie. It's a lie recorded in the Bible. Not that God's justifying lying. It's just that God is so honest that he wrote a book about human behavior that tells both the good things about humans and the bad things about humans. The good things about angels, the bad things about angels, and he has given them in the Bible for our examination and discernment. And so the Bible, somebody once said, the Bible's full of lies. And I said, Amen. It is. There's a whole bunch of lies recorded in it. Why? Because the Bible says all men are liars. And you got a whole bunch of lies. In Acts chapter 5, you have the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who said to God one day, Lord, if we can sell this land, we'll give you all the money. And so they sold the land, but they kept back part of the money. And Peter confronted him and said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost to keep back part of the land? And Ananias fell down dead, and his wife came in a little while later. And Peter said, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. What's she doing here? She's lying. And we have the record of that lie in the Bible. And so I said today, number one, the Bible simply records in honesty the words of men and women, even if inaccurate. Even if inaccurate. Number two, the Bible even records some lies that have been told, and I've given you examples. Number three, Jesus answered the matter. Now, if you're still in Luke 2, I brought this out already. Number three, Jesus answered the matter in the next verse, Luke 2, verse 49. Now, for those that came in a little late, the hard question we're studying today is, why did Mary refer to Joseph as, quote, thy father, end quote, when she addressed the 12-year-old Jesus in Luke 2, 49? So she said to him, Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And point number three is, Jesus answered the matter in the next verse, verse 49. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? Notice those words, my father's business. Now, what was the business of Joseph? We know it from the Bible. It tells us. What was his business? He was a carpenter. What was Joseph doing here in Jerusalem? Building furniture? Or Jesus, what was he doing here? Building furniture?
What was he doing?
He was preaching the word, wasn't he? 12 years old, it says very specifically. Let's read on here. We read it earlier. Maybe you missed this point. But it says when they got to Jerusalem, they were heading back to Nazareth, a day's journey. They realized the child Jesus was not among the kinsfolk or acquaintance. And then they turned back, verse 45, seeking Jesus. It came to pass after 3 days. Well, that's quite a search, wasn't it? They were probably really nervous. If you can imagine losing your child for 3 days, you'd probably call the state police in, the sheriffs, and all the neighbors, and scour the woods, and so on and so forth. 3 days. They looked for him, and it probably just wasn't very common for a 12-year-old boy to be hanging around the temple for 3 days. You know, 12-year-old boys are back then like they are today. Can't wait for the amen to get over so they can get out of church as fast as possible. But 3 days, and it says they found Jesus Christ there, and what was he doing? Was he building furniture, building chairs? Now it came to pass after 3 days, verse 46, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. For 3 days he spent in the temple with the doctors, that is the doctors of the law, not doctors like you go to see when you're sick today, but the doctors of the law, those that knew Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible, and he was answering, asking them questions, and hearing them, and then as he was responding, everybody that sat around for 3 days there, the doctors were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And that's when Mary and Joseph walk in and say, whoa, what's going on? We have sought you sorrowing for 3 days. Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And Jesus, I believe, answers the matter, and it's very clear. How is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about the carpenter's business? Doesn't say it here, does it? I must be about my Father's business. What's God's business? The Word of God. The disseminating and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, the Bible. That's God's business. That's the greatest business on earth. There is nothing more important than giving forth the Word of God. Whether it's preaching, teaching, soul winning, you can rack your brain all day long. There's nothing more important in your life you can do than to give God's Word to another human being. And he said, I have been about my Father's business the last 3 days here. So he made it clear who his father was, didn't he? It wasn't Joseph. He wasn't doing any woodwork those days. He was ministering the Word of God. Number four, Jesus never called Joseph father. Now, this is easy to do nowadays with the Bible computer programs there are, with the Strong's Concordance, Unger's Concordance, Cruden's Concordance, whatever, Young's Concordance rather, Cruden's Concordance. Get one of those, and it'll list the word father. And what I did was I just simply took the word father, and I checked every single time the word father was used in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which record for us a lot of the activities of Christ's life from his birth to his ascension into heaven. And I checked the word father, and not one single time did Jesus ever refer to Joseph as his father. Number five, Jesus referred to God as the Father 189 times in the four Gospels. Again, that's because of the use of the computer and concordance. Jesus referred to God as the Father 189 times in the four Gospels. That's quite a few times when you think. So the score so far is 189-0. Now Jesus, and isn't it somehow the cults and the isms and the Christ deniers and the Christ rejectors will take one verse spoken by Mary and reject 189 verses spoken by Christ about who the Father is? Well, I'd rather side with 189. I don't know about you. I think that's where the safety is. And get this next point here. Number six, write this down. Jesus referred to God as, quote, my Father, end quote, 60 times in the New Testament in four books, Matthew, Luke, John, and Revelation. In four books, Jesus referred to God as my Father, quote, my Father, end quote, 60 times. In these four books, Matthew, Luke, John, and Revelation. So they got these programs now where you can actually type phrases in to your computer. And we have such an advantage in Bible study today that no generation ever has had. I encourage you to get a good Bible program for your computer. My Father. So again, I'd rather side with Jesus, 60 to nothing, when he referred to the Heavenly Father as my Father and to Joseph never once as my Father. An example of this, I think, just one of the 60, is John chapter 5. If you want to write down one reference, you can look up the other 60. John chapter number 5 and verse number 17, Jesus said these words. He said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. He said, God is my Father. He's saying, I am the only begotten of the Father. None of us can make that claim. We're all his children by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3, verse 26, we're born again. We're adopted into God's family. But Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father, born of the seed of God by a virgin named Mary, conceived of the Holy Ghost. And none of us can make that claim. So he's the only begotten Son. And the Jews, understanding what he meant, because they knew the Scriptures, they knew the Old Testament, they knew Isaiah 9 and verse 6, amen. Where the Bible says, unto you a child shall be born, unto you a son shall be given, and his name shall be called. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. They knew that if somebody came to earth and said, I am the Son of God, that he was claiming, I am the Everlasting Father. Because the Son, Isaiah 9, 6, would be called the Everlasting Father. And they knew that, so they picked up stones and stoned him. And they said, you've not only broken the Sabbath, but you claim to be God, the Son of God, making yourself equal with God. And so he called the Father, God, my Father, 60 times. 60 times. He never called Joseph my Father once. So I'm going to side with the Lord and that Mary. How about you? On another note, number 7, Jesus never called Mary his mother. Jesus never called Mary his mother. He always addressed her as woman. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And he never called Mary his mother. In fact, one time Jesus crossed paths with a Mary worshiper. There's a lot of Mary worshipers. God bless them. God help them to see the truth. I'm not trying to attack them in any way, shape, or form, but Mary is not to be worshipped. One day, one woman began to worship his mother, Mary, in his presence, and notice what Jesus said to her in Luke 11, verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, again, he corrects this error immediately. He says, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. See that there? Here's a woman who wants to worship Mary. Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps that thou hast sucked, that blessed is that woman that nourished you. And Jesus stops it and says, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. They're the ones that are blessed, not the woman that brought me into the world. Turn to John 2. John 2. If we're not careful, it almost seems coarse the way Jesus addressed Mary, because maybe in his foreknowledge he knew about all this Mary worship that would take place on earth. And we have here a need for wine, grape juice at the wedding. They'd run out. Mary comes up to Jesus and says to him in verse 3, John 2 and verse 3, and they said, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Notice how Jesus responds to her. Verse 4, Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? What a thing to say. What have I to do with thee? Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And so he addressed her as woman. In John 19, when he was on the cross, and then this is all leading up to something that will get back to our question, okay? And then we'll be done in a few minutes. John 19, he's on the cross. It says in verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, what? Woman, behold thy son. He never said mother to her. He never said that out loud that we have recorded in the scriptures. He said, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, that's to John, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own house. And so she went into John's house and lived there. Go back to Matthew 12. Mary had a very special place in human history. She was a virgin. She had never known a man. And the Lord just simply chose her as a vessel, a vehicle, if you will, to implant by the Holy Ghost, by the seed of God in her womb, that holy child, Jesus, who would be born of a virgin, with no human male involved, no human blood involved. The blood of a baby inside of a placenta is completely separate from the blood of its mother. In fact, sometimes mothers will have a child with a completely different type of blood type. And their bloods never mix. Jesus had the blood of God in him. We know that's a fact because it tells us in Acts chapter number 20 that it was the blood of God that was spilled on the cross. In Acts 20 and verse number 28, it says, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, G-O-D. Feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. It doesn't say the church of Christ. It says the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. God shed his blood on the cross. Jesus is God. And so it was necessary that one time in history there would be a divine miracle called the virgin birth. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it was prophesied, behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So there had to be a virgin, and Mary was that virgin. But please don't think Mary was sinless or perfect. She wasn't. But she was a virgin. And she had to be a virgin so that Christ could be a legitimate son and never be accused of being illegitimate or the product of fornication, though he was. But Jesus never addressed her as his mother. In fact, as you read through the Bible stories, he almost seemed to be distant from her. Look at Matthew 12, verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, now he's inside of a house, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without desiring to speak unto him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to speak unto thee. But he answered and said unto them, and that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You just check out the stories, and that's just pretty much how he treated her. And I think just by the foreknowledge of God, God knowing there'd be so many Mary worshipers on earth, he corrected that back then. He recognized the danger of people worshiping Mary. So he treated his mother so. He wasn't un-Christian or anything. He just made a point. See, his blood had to be divine. In 1 Peter 1, and verse 18 and 19, it says, For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain tradition received by vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish and without spot. So we were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Mary wasn't perfect and never claimed to be. Let me close with this, because it's just kind of setting up the answer here. Go back to Luke now, Luke chapter 1. Mary was never perfect, she was never sinless, and she never claimed to be. Look what she says here when she gets news about being with child by the Holy Ghost, a chosen virgin. She says in Luke 1, verse 46, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Notice Mary confessed with her own mouth her need for a Savior. My spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. She is not a redeemer, as is being propagated now in Catholic dogma, stronger and stronger, that you have to not only get to God through Jesus, but through Mary. No, the Bible says there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Trying to give you some sound doctrine here. Look at Luke 2, verse 21. A couple more minutes. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. J-E-S-U-S, all in capitals. That comes from the Greek form of the Hebrew, Jehoshua, which means Jehovah our salvation. That's why they commanded, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If you're here today and you're trying to save yourself from your sins, quit trying. For he shall save his people from their sins. Quit trying and start trusting in Christ. But notice verse 22. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. Now, sometime our time is up, but you have to read the law. Leviticus chapter 12, it's only 8 verses long. It talks about how when a woman gives birth to a child, she has to bring two pigeons, because she was poor, or two lambs or a lamb or something, and she had to give that sacrifice as an atonement for her sins. That's why Mary presented turtle doves. You read it in Leviticus 12, or you're not going to believe me. It talks about that this is for the purification of the woman, for her purification, for her sins, to make, it says in Leviticus 12, an atonement for her soul. So what was Mary confessing by bringing these two turtle doves? She said, I'm a sinner. I need to have blood shed for the atonement of my soul. So she was not a perpetual virgin. Matthew 13 tells us she had 6 more children at least. She was not sinless. And she's not a mediator. You can't pray to her or through her. Just go right through Jesus, the Son of God. And so I say all that to say, who are you going to believe? A woman who confesses to be a sinner? Who gave a sacrifice as an atonement for her soul? Who one time referred to Joseph as your father, thy father? Are you going to believe her? Or are you going to believe the perfect, sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ, who 60 times said of God in heaven, my Father, my Father? I believe Jesus cleared it up in the next verse when he said, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. I'm not building furniture here, Mary. I'm ministering the Word of God in the temple. That's my Father's business. My Father, my Father, my Father in heaven. All right, I hope that helps answer that question of what Luke 2:48 is about. Let's pray. Father, thank you.